Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. Just a quick item before we start the pod. I apologize for the sound quality in this episode. We were working on a new setup and unfortunately didn't work out so well this time. We take quality as a high priority for our listeners and we'll ensure we fix this moving forward. Thanks again for listening and hope you enjoy the episode. Community of members, coaches, and professionals working as a team of like-minded individuals in constant pursuit. Connecting this exclusive group with the tools and resources they require to live a high-performance lifestyle, conquering what life has thrown at them. We are Living the Fit Life.
Welcome to Living the Fit Life podcast, episode 57. I'm your host, Chad Mueller, and again, I'm joined by my special guest, Ian Childs. Special analysis. How's it going, buddy?
Good. 2 weeks in a row I'm on this pod. What a treat.
Yes, and so hopefully everyone has listened to our previous episode of the CrossFit Games Men's Edition.
And by the time this one comes out, it'll be 1 week before the games, right? I think something like that. So, yep.
Or even listen to this before the games, get all amped up.
I think so. I think that's right.
Play at home, right down your home podium.
Yeah, that's right. I think just like the men's field, I think the women's field, we're going to see some familiar names, I think, around, but there's a lot of young people, a lot of new people coming in. It's a really cool year for CrossFit overall, for males and females, because I just think we're getting a big turnover in both male and female fields. So looking forward to it.
I have to ask, I didn't ask this, but will we see any bad supplementation outages on the individual side?
Yes. Really? Okay. 100%. I think there will be.
Before games or after games?
No, I think it'll be after the games. I don't think it's going to affect our podium. I think it's always those people who are new to exploring these things and don't know the timing of when to do it. I would love to say that it's just completely clean. I just know how there's a lot at stake for these people, right? Like these athletes now, we're on a, let's call it a fringe sport, right? They're not making top sport money. But if you're at the top of this sport, there is now money to be made. And I think after years and years of maybe some lean times, that's what leads to those moments. It's just people reaching for that little extra percent to make maybe get some money a year earlier than they would if they kind of stayed the course. So yeah, I think there definitely will be some tainted shakes that they didn't know about. Yeah, that's going to be for sure the angle. They took a cough syrup for their cough the night before, and you know, they didn't realize that HGH was in it. Yeah.
Where somebody kicked somebody in.
Yeah, that's right. Second, remember Ross Rebliati, the Olympics, I think it was Vancouver, maybe before that, and it was like he got caught with marijuana in the system and said it was from a party secondhand. What a call. Love that.
All right, so today we're diving into the women's field. But before we get to the women's field, there was a request to ask this question. We're not doing a team prediction. Although I love watching the teams, but I think it's also a whole new world that we're not really super invested in. But one of the big storylines is CrossFit Reykjavik, right? Annie, I mean, we're talking about women's field, crushed it last year, mom strength. She had one of the best moments of the entire.
Yeah, when she surprised herself with her 205 snatch, I think.
Going head to head with Tia. And, you know, she podiumed. And then this year she decides to go team. And so there's always been this back and forth with her and Rich. They're OGs. They used to train together back in the day. And she kind of said specifically, she's like, she kind of wants to go and.
Yeah, take the title.
So the question is, can Annie dethrone Rich?
When you watched that team, the Reykjavik team, they looked strong, but they didn't look bulletproof. Where when you watch Mayhem going, they always look like, and it's always a new roster featuring Rich, right? But he always finds people who can go somewhere. And Annie, I think it's going to be really an awesome top-end competition for the teams. I don't know if Annie's team's going to do it this year. I think she's still figuring out like how to lead a team. And I think it's going to take a year. I think she's going to be I think they're going to threaten for sure. I think they're such a strong team. But Mayhem is just pumping out. They have like three teams there again. And those three of their teams have probably finished top 10, top five, something like that. So, yeah, I still like, I like there being a bit of growing pains. And I think what you're going to see is Andy's going to come in and she's going to improve her team for next year, including Katrin, David's daughter, who I think this will be Katrin's time now to realize it's time to look for another way if she wants to stay in the sport. And I think Katrin will go over and it'll be Annie and Katrin, and they'll find a couple other people as well. But I think they're going to have a really strong games. I just don't know if they're going to win.
Yeah, I mean, the champ is the champ, and the champ has been the champ for a long time.
Yeah. Rich knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think him knowing that Annie's in the race, he's just going to be that much more prepared.
Yep.
Right? Because he already knows what the storyline's going to be. And I agree with you. I think first year's a team, they'll make a splash.
Yep.
But she'll reform. She'll most likely grab Katrin.
Yeah, Katrin's going over for sure. I think it's good. I think this will be a last. I'm surprised Annie went to team this year. After her performance last year, she looks so strong. And when you watch any of the footage of her on the team, all the other athletes on her team are scared of her. They say she is an intimidating force who is just driving them really, really hard. So I think she still had that individual thing, but I think she really wants to be the queen of the sport, right? And just have all of it. Like Rich was. Rich won individuals forever and then went on a dominated team. I think she's thinking, I want to be that version on the female side.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You could definitely see behind closed doors, like Rich sending a text and, hey, like, bring a team, come compete with me.
Yeah, let's do this.
It's good for the sport.
For sure.
I totally agree with you. She's definitely the alpha. She looks better than she.
The turtle shell abs are just like on the next level. Next level turtle shell.
All right. Let's get more specific to the ladies. Let's talk about our top five. Do we want to go five through one, or should we go the other way?
Just because it's the women's field, we can go the other way for this, because I think there's more intrigue and in who else is going to make up the top five than who we think will be one. T is going to win.
My question was going to be, what could happen that Tia doesn't win?
I think it would have to just be an injury. One of my hot takes I'll jump to here about Tia, I don't think she's going to be as dominant as she has been. I don't think she's going to be event win after event win after event win. I think she's going to consistently be in the top 3 to 5 in most of the events, which is going to, again, put her on top of everyone else. But I think there are going to be people, there's specialists now who are coming out who are going to be able to beat her, I think, in certain events. When you watch Tia, and like watching her do something like a Fran workout is terrifying. She is unrelenting, does not stop, and just embarrasses the field. So if there are workouts like that, she's going to destroy them. But I think some of the other types of events, like a pure strength, or you throw a yoke into the girls, and Laura Horvath has to be considered someone who's going to take Tia down. I think Tia has some vulnerabilities, but I don't think there's any way she's not first place unless she gets hurt. And even then she may still win.
Yeah, the handstand walking, she's not really great at usually. There's a few, but like even at semifinals, I mean, she doesn't even look like she was trying out there.
That's the scary part.
And she's not even peaking, just there to. She was there because she was finally back in Australia. She's having a good time, and she was there for the fans, really, right?
Yeah.
And I want this so badly. I want to have to see Tia at the last day fight. I want the last day where she is not sure if she will win.
Imagine she's not wearing the leader's jersey on Sunday. That would be amazing.
Hold on. I think she wears the leader's jersey the entire week.
Okay.
I just want her to feel that there's two competitors behind her that can win.
Right.
And like you're saying, keep it close. And I want her to go to bed on Saturday night thinking, shit, I got to compete.
Like coming up with a strategy, not planning the parade route. I want that.
It's the same. Yeah, it's like the same as Fraser and Olsen, right? Like you think about Fraser, like, yeah, we all thought he's going to catch Olsen. Or, yeah, Fraser was going to be it. We had no doubt in our mind
that he
would overtake. But in his mind, he's freaking out.
Right.
I want Tia to freak out a little bit.
Yeah, I want to see her under pressure. She just, it's scary though when she just transitioned again this year from bobsled, where again you're seeing all the footage of her saying, I'm 10 kilos overweight or 15 kilos overweight. I haven't done any fitness. I've just been pushing sleds. And then she does the CrossFit Open almost as a joke and easily beats everybody. Does the quarterfinals and again, semifinals. It just looks pedestrian at this point, the way that she performs. And I want more than anything to see her, like you're saying, just finally have someone at least threaten, knock on the door a little bit. I don't know what's, can you imagine what's motivating her at this point? That's what's so hard because you've now, is it five in a row she's won, right?
Well, I think I know, I think what motivates her is she will be the greatest CrossFitter of all time.
Of all time. That's it. That's what her thing is now.
She wins another one.
Yeah. So if she wins six, that's it.
There's no question.
Right. I guess that's it.
There's no question. Frazier Froning, doesn't matter how many team medals Froning has.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody will ever question that Tia will be the greatest.
She is unbelievable. Yeah, I think she's number one. I think it's crazy if people pick anything else.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it'll be all about Tia. It's always about Tia. So let's move on from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But who do you have sort of second, third, that'll round out the podium, that'll sort of threaten Tia?
Okay, so my number two, I'm looking at your list here. We have a similar top three. So I think Laura Horvath, I think, is going to finish second. I think she's going to have a very strong games. I think she's just shown. She does not look like she has the engine, right? She's a bigger athlete, but she has continued to show that she's capable of digging on high output and events where you would think the extra size would be a detriment, and she's amazing. I think Laura Horvath is amazing.
And she, again, got a second place finish last year.
Yeah, I think she's going to get second.
Right there behind you.
Yeah, I think she's going to be so solid all weekend. But again, doesn't have that extra thing that's going to get her past Tia.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Laura Horvath for sure, and I agree with you. She comes second again. I think she has a chance to beat Tia in a few events and, again, be that person on day three or is it day four?
Just in her mind. Just give Tia something to think about.
Yeah. Who rounds out your podium then?
I think in a distant third. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Tia and Laura are going to be, you know, a big chunk of points ahead, but distant third. I was even going to move this person further down, but Mal O'Brien does look very good. She looks very scary. She really has the look of someone who could do some damage at an event like this. And obviously with Frazier as her coach, she's more and more, when you watch her online, looking, resembling his style of competitiveness in a female form. And I think she is going to be, I think she's one of the people who's going to nab a couple event wins from Tia this year. And this is what I said. I don't think Tia is going to win. She'll win a few events, but I don't think she'll win as many because I think someone like Mal is going to come and just destroy her in one of some of these like high capacity events.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. It was hard for me to put Mal in third, but yeah, so, something about her. The first time we saw her, Granite Games, the first event on that football field, I was like, man, she looks like a killer.
An absolute killer. Yeah.
And I'm like, because there was like Emma Carey, there's a few other people, and just, she just stood out so much.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot for us to ask for her to be on the podium this year. I think she's still obviously young, and this is her second year.
Yeah.
In elite division. I think there's a huge amount of expectations. So like, there's a conversation about whether she'll live up those expectations. But there is something about like her and Matt. Like, you've heard rumblings that Matt is trying to build a Tia killer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Matt and Tia talk much anymore. I don't know if she's overly impressed with what he's doing.
Right.
He's shedding all his secrets of all the years he trained with Tia.
Yeah.
One young person that possibly could
dethrone her. Yeah. And what a great thing for Matt Frazier's coaching business to be like, I was the coach who figured out how to beat Tia.
Yeah.
And Mal is terrifying.
Yeah, for sure. She's a killer.
Yeah.
She's got that kind of Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan kind of vibe.
Yeah, she does.
But, like, surprising for Matt Frazier to retire, hold hands with Tia on the last around the next year and grab what you sort of thought of.
And make the T2000.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
It feels that way for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to happen. I think Tia is going to win this year. I think she's going to choose to leave the sport at some point before she gets beat by Mal.
Right. I think Shayna and her are going to want to make little Tia and Chains as well pretty soon. Like, she's in that prime time. And I'm not saying that for any other reason, but I've heard her in conversations talking about how that's like an important part of what they want for their future. So yeah, I think if she goes out like this.
Well, that would be a good another challenge.
Yeah.
Have a kid come back and win games.
You win again. Like, just like Annie did, right? Yeah, for sure.
You go off to a different sport. You make the Olympics, you come back, you still win.
So yeah.
Let's go have a baby. Come back and
Show them. That, you know, I'm telling you, these post-birth mothers in so many sports, in endurance sports, there's so much evidence saying that these athletes come back stronger. And then you see Annie Thor's daughter last year do it, come back and truly shock everybody by being on the podium, including herself. It was one of the coolest things to watch her last year continue. Because even leading up to the games last year, there was questions about her pelvic floor stability, whether she's going to be able to brace for these things. And she had no, it was just going to be almost a final curtain call for her. And then she puts on a show like that. And I think that would be a cool little bow on Tia's career as well if she came back post that. Now we're sending Tia off before she probably is ready to go off. But
I mean, I like that you went that way because I have Kara making a big comeback this year and I have her fourth. I wanted to put her on the podium.
Yeah.
And for the sole reason that she's the one athlete that knows how to beat Tia.
Right.
She's been there. She was going toe-to-toe with Tia. And there was 2 years where Kara could have been the winner by like a millisecond.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That they dropped and that they were racing twice.
Yeah.
And so Kara knows how to beat Tia. They have a friend. They're friends. They're competitors. I mean, at the semifinals, Kara didn't look like she even had a chance to beat her on a few events, but she was always number two.
Yeah.
I have her high only because I think she can beat Tia or come close to Tia.
Right.
Because she's got that, because Tia will know that. Tia knows that Kara's beat me.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody else or else beat her in a few events, but I have Kara number four. I'm hopeful. Last year was a tough year for her.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons I've kind of put her where I have her, which isn't inside my top 10, but I definitely saw her in your top 10.
I mean, she's in Froning now. I mean, she's not with Froning, but she's doing Froning programming. I'm still a fanboy.
I think it's a good pick. I think she could definitely, because there's always a bounce back. There's always a story like that, and that could be the one. My number four is Mayhem's own Haley Adams. I think Haley, we know strength was always, she always had the engine. She could always compete on the high output kind of things, but strength has continued to be what's let her down. When you watch her in any totals, that's where she gets hit. And in the semifinals this year, it looked like she was actually putting up some competitive numbers in a couple of the events. I think, again, she's in the top five, but this is another, if the events fall in her favor a little bit, if they have more capacity stuff or maybe just cycling a lighter barbell weight or something like that, I really do think she can be a top five. Again, just like the men's field, I think we're going to see this young, youthful women's movement, which I'm going to also talk about in the top 10. And I think Haley's ready to be there. I don't think she's a podium person. I think it's a shame Mal looks like she's just leapfrogged Haley. I don't think Haley's going to be able to compete with Mal, but that might be crazy to say. But
it's a body type team.
Yeah. I just like watching Haley go. She just she's so consistent all weekend long. She never gets high or low. You don't see footage of her tantruming in the corner or getting mad like you see, you know, some of the guys throwing chalk buckets or whatever. She just stays consistent. She's such a Rich Froning protege.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, she has gotten stronger. She's still young, so she can get stronger. And I imagine she's just constantly lifting weights. But there'll be 2 to 3 workouts that'll test her. And she just needs to mitigate the damage. If she can, even outside those, she's had some bad finishes in the past.
Yeah.
She's still top 10. So
I love watching some of the video footage where it's Rich just saying, if he's not watching her, supervising her, she'll try and sneak off and do like an hour bike or something like that. And he's really trying to get her to understand that she just needs to focus on what she's, her weaknesses are, and then go home. And because he said he's a couple times been like, okay, Haley, I'm going back to the house, just finish stretching and then come home. And then he'll find out she did an hour C2 bike or whatever. So
who's number five?
Number five. Now this, after what's happened in the last couple of weeks with this athlete, it's either going to make or break this athlete, and it's Danielle Brandon. I think she is a competitor, but there, obviously we don't know, have enough information. I certainly don't. There is something more to that story about leaving your team this close to the games, switching coaches. There is a bigger story there that we don't know, and I don't know if it, what it could possibly be. She does look like the kind of athlete though, where adversity might strengthen her a little bit, you know, having, sure. Right? So I think Danielle Brandon, she looked really good in the semifinals. I think she is the kind of person who could just, again, change the top five a little bit. I think she could be in there.
I didn't put her in the top five because of those reasons. It's just too much uncertainty. But it seems like that's kind of her vibe, though. She's
totally
edgy. She's just like,
yeah.
Last year was like the whole COVID thing and just being separated. Like, she handled that pretty well. Her and her coach, super passionate people. You got to think that something just erupted.
Yeah.
And they're just not vibing anymore. So.
Yeah.
But it is a risky game. They're going to leave and just
so close.
New coach, new athletes, new. And how's. Are you going to have, you don't have Justin Cotler in your corner at the games and
right.
He used to yell and scream. So yeah, it's a tough one, but is a beast and
she's a beast. I think she's going to be okay, but this is one of those things where it's like the bed was made by the other coach. Like she, all of her things are prepared. This last month would just be polishing it a little bit. It might be next year will be different. If she's switched to Brute, right? She's with Brute Strength right now, I think. I think there's more to the story, and that's the only worry, is it could possibly get in the way of her doing better. But it's a small community. She's going to see her coach, her ex-coach at the games probably.
For sure. They'll get the finish line. So you have three Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mal, Haley, and Danielle.
For my fifth, and... this was tough when I put Cara fourth, even Mel at third. Like, I see this person as potentially podium.
Yeah.
Is Gavin Mandela.
I like it.
I think similar to what we talked about in the men's field.
Yeah.
There's something going on in Europe that
yep.
we just don't see as much.
Mm-hmm.
And she is leading that. She was training a lot with Horvath early on. She's kind of going on her own now. She looks legit. Like, she seems like she's got a good head on her shoulders. And I think she... she'll surprise people. I think there's definitely I think the European athletes want to come over and prove something.
I agree.
I think she's one of those people leading the charge there.
Yeah. She actually has been training a little bit with Jacqueline Dahlstrom and the other daughter. Solveig. Is that her name?
Solveig, yes.
So they've been training a lot together. I've just seen them. And I do like that choice. I think Gabby's going to be good.
Yeah. I'd like to see it. So who rounds out your top 10?
My top 10. I think we are going to see a Brooke Wells top 10.
Don't even want to stay here for the hot take.
I think Brooke, it was devastating. It's still gross. And I do allow myself to watch that video from last year. I can't believe she's come back. I can't believe she's been as good as she is. I think one of the things going against Brooke for so long was she just didn't seem like she had the edge to be a top, top athlete. And now coming back from a devastating injury like that has just shown me something different. And I like it. I think I don't want to believe the games are going to protect her, but I also know they're trying to grow the sport. And I'm considering the possibility that some of these events are going to be a little bit leaned a little bit to protect Brooke's elbow.
Whoa. Okay.
Because she's one of their golden childs, right? Like, she has a big following. So I don't think you're going to see Max Snatch. this year. I'll tell you that much. I think they're going to steer clear of that. So I don't know. Other top 10s.
We got Spence Ford, Tom and Brooke here. I mean, good for you for doing this. I agree with you. Out of this injury, she's going to be more edgy. And I think in a few years, she's going to actually, this is going to make her
better.
The best switch. She doesn't finish top 20, but she wins the spirit of the game.
You think so?
That's the storyline.
I do worry about her being back at the site of the injury. And then what kind of ghosts come up? Because I don't know. I don't think you can prepare for that. You're just going to be there, and you're the first thing she's going to think when she steps on that floor is my elbow was no longer attached to the rest of my arm.
Yeah, I think just coming back and being there is amazing in itself. I don't think we can ask any more.
Right. Well, I'm asking for a top 10.
Yeah, you are.
All right. The rest of my top 10. I know this is a homer pick, but I honestly think we're going to see an Emma Lawson top 10.
Oh, man.
Emma Lawson was so steady at that semifinal. She did not get rattled when, who was the, Paige Powers. Paige Powers beat her on a couple of events, and Emma could have looked, got rattled. She was so composed. She was so calm. She picked her spot. She knew where she was better, and she made sure she won those. I think she and Josh have got an athlete who is knows what her strengths are. And I think she's been on the big stage as a teen, so it's not like she's not familiar with the Madison layout and how the games work. So she knows how it all works. So she has a bit of experience that way. I think her fitness is going to do the talking. I think she is going to be a top 10er for sure.
That's a homer pick.
It is a homer pick, but I think she's very, very good. Ellie Turner, keep seeing the name. I think Ellie Turner is going to be great. Ellie's a DECA athlete, I think. Yep. And yeah, I think Ellie Turner, she also does have the, again, she looks like a CrossFitter, right? She looks like she's going to do well. I don't know much. I just think Ellie's going to continue on this. She's on a rise for sure. I think there's going to be her being like, she is legitimately part of the top echelon of the sport. Thuri Helgadottir, I think is going to be there because you got to have a daughter somewhere in the top 10 of the women's field. It's, otherwise, this would be the first time in a long time.
I know. It's crazy. But she's been around since the...
She's been around forever.
People don't notice. I should have researched this before, but I'm pretty sure this will be her 8th games. She'll be the not the oldest, but she'll be the most experienced.
Yeah. She looked very good this year in the quarterfinals, semifinals.
She's sneaky.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's going to be there because I think we're going to have an Icelandic top 10. And one of my favorites, Jacqueline Dahlstrom, Norway. I think she looks good. She looks strong. She puts up good. And when you watch her training with Gabby Magala, like you were saying, Gabby Magala's got some really good strength numbers, and Jacqueline is not far off of those numbers. And again, I think these women have just quietly been training away in Spain or in different parts of Europe in their little training camps and don't get the same attention. And I think they're coming over to show people that it's time to pay a little bit more attention to what's going on over there.
I like it. Yeah, the only ones I had in my top 10 that were different, Danielle Brandon, because she was in my top 5. You actually don't have Gabby in your top 10.
I know. I'll talk about her in a minute.
Because you put Brooke there. I got Haley top 10. And then I put Ellie Turner, Helgadottir. I think Helgadottir, like, she's just one of those people that, like, she'll win the endurance rats.
Yep.
And then she'll be super strong at some of the other events. And she's like, you're a CrossFitter.
Yeah.
You don't look like it.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's just very, she's a lean person, right?
She's like a Sam Briggs, you know?
Yeah.
She's just always there.
Oh, Sam Briggs is gone.
But yeah, Daniel Brandon, I think Haley, Ella Turner, I got Helgadottir, and then I put Alexis Raptis.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I don't really have any of the sort of the new athletes in my top 10, and I think it's really difficult to pick like one of the newcomers because there's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many, and I agree with you. Like we talked about the last episode, there's a change of the guard for sure.
I think there's a good chance we're just going to completely miss on someone too. Like, there's going to be someone who's going to make a name for themselves this weekend that we may have missed completely, and I don't know who it will be.
But we can talk about the obvious ones. I mean, Amanda Barner, Christiera O'Connell, Emily Rolfe.
Yeah.
Danny Speegs.
Yeah, Speegs.
I mean, she's never really been super high, but she's a name. Like, Amanda Barnhart is pretty steady.
Barnhart is steady, but she's a steady, like, 12th place finish.
Right.
Right? Like,
Jeremo is always there fighting with Tia early on.
Yeah.
She fades it later on.
I just think, as we said with the men's last week, was this sport is getting younger. And at first, when it was getting younger, the veterans were still winning because they seemed stronger. But these young kids now are so strong coming in and have all of the skills. Because a lot of these young kids, as the story goes, have been doing this since CrossFit kids. They've now been doing CrossFit for 10 years, starting at age 12, and they're 22. So I just think, I don't think they can slow this momentum of this young, youthful thing. And I think it's great for the sport because you're now going to have a decade of new faces and competitors that are going to grow their own brands, but also grow the sport for sure.
Love it. Love it. Cool. Your dark horse.
I think Paige Powers could definitely be someone who can switch up the leaderboard. Again, I know Emma took care of business at the Granite Games. Is that the ones they were at? Yeah. No. Atlas Games. But Paige looked good. She was right there in every event. It's not like Emma walked away with the competition. And I think Emma's going to be very strong. So I have to assume that Paige Powers is going to be really strong. So I think she could be one of those people who might knock someone out of the top 10 sneakily. Or at least in a couple of events, you'll see her name near the top of the leaderboard. And then again, you mentioned her earlier, Gabby Magala. It was kind of hard to slip her out of the top 10 because I agree. I think she's going to be very good. I think you're going to see, she's going to be one of these athletes, as I talked about earlier with Tia. I think Gabby Magala is in a place where she could win an event. You know, there's like four or five athletes you can say are going to probably win an event. Mal O'Brien will win an event. And you're just, the more you think about this, you're like, then Tia can't win all of these events. And I think that's just how it's going to go. But yeah, my dark horse would be Paige Powers from Atlas Game Success and Gabby Magala.
Yeah, I agree with Gabby. I think she's going to surprise people and make some difference in the leaderboard. And then I also put Daniel Brandon because of just the unknown with her. Mm-hmm. She looks so steady in semifinals. And I think she has a lot of potential. And she looked great last year.
Yeah.
She won the handstand launch. She competed pretty well in a lot of the events.
Yep.
I think she can change the leaderboard spots for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Your breakout performance. Who's going to be flash? You were pretty big on Roman.
Yeah, I had to pick a couple names here that we've already mentioned. I think Jacqueline Dahlstrom is going to, because she's just in the fact that I think she'll be a top 10 athlete, I think that'll get her name out there. Gabby Magala, I think, is going to have a good, and then I think Emma is going to have a breakout performance. I really, really do like what I saw. There's definitely still weaknesses in her game, strength being the weakness still. She's a very strong athlete, but you still see some of these top dogs are, you see like what Brooke Wells can deadlift, and you know, those are the numbers she's going to have to try and get herself to. But she's so good. I think Emma will become a bit of a darling of the sport here because she seems to have already a growing, her sponsorships are growing. She just signed with Podium.
Her celebrity.
She's growing, right? I feel like she meets what they want to promote in the sport. She's a nice, nice girl who works really hard and is doing amazing at the sport. So I see her.
I love the darling of the sport. I love that. I mean, we're a little biased for sure, but she is the real deal. Like,
she is.
She's got what it takes. She's marketable. I agree with you. I had her Paige Powers as two breakout performances. I agree with you. Atlas Games, it was really fun watching the two of them go head to head because it was really just the two of them.
Yep.
And if we look at like Alex Kazan and Alexis Raftis at Granite and a few other, I don't think they got the same sort of appeal as Paige and Emma do.
Yeah.
Paige is with Mayhem, so she's got Froning behind her. And maybe we're biased, but Emma feels like a celebrity already. She's going to grow. I think this will be a big year for her and Paige too, for sure. They're going to have a moment. There's going to be some sort of moment that happens, and it'll be all over the socials.
For sure.
So then, I guess, Rookie of the Year.
I think it'll be Emma. I think Emma will be Rookie of the Year.
Now, that's a big take.
You think so? Because I know there's a lot of rookies per se, but again, this might change if she does, if she struggles. If she even shows the potential, if you see some top 10 event finishes from Emma Lawson, the games are going to want her to be Rookie of the Year. Because again, just what we were talking about, they want to market her. They want her to become a strong face for the sport. So why not? Right?
Yeah, let's look at last year, right? Mal beats Tia.
Yeah.
In the wall walk thruster event.
Yeah.
And she did open. I mean, she's placed top 10. And she had one event win, beat Tia.
It was obvious that she was the Rookie of the Year. She was also the breakout performance last year, right? Like Mal really just came on stage. And I think Emma's going to have a similar kind of weekend.
But if we talk about it, right? Because it's not a male-female thing. It's just a Rookie of the Year. Like Guy.
Yeah.
Had a breakout last year.
Yeah.
Big moment last year. He didn't have the highest placing as Mal did.
Right.
But you could easily say, like, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised if he got Rookie of the Year. So I agree with you. Emma has a pretty good shot. There are a lot of rookies. You're going to have to compete with Roman.
Yep.
But yes, you're right. CrossFit, if they had to pick between Roman and Emma,
from
a marketability standpoint, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, for sure. But that's what I just, again, I feel like on the men's side, I was talking a lot about Roman. That name came up a lot. And on this, I just like what Emma is. I feel like she's poised and ready to do this. And you know she wants it. We know that this is what she wants.
Yeah, I have Emma and Alex Kazan. Alex Kazan plays fifth at Granite. She seems also got a big future. I feel like she doesn't garner as much attention. I feel like Emma's already got a lot of attention going to the games.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the open announcement, and I think she's getting some sponsorship deals, so her face is definitely going over there. So,
yep.
Will she live up to it? I mean, good luck to Emma.
Good luck to her. Local. We're all rooting locally here, for sure.
You got any hot takes for her? Give it up.
So, I already talked about Tia. Talked about new daughters making their mark. And, yeah, I've talked a little. I just think the young stars are going to be, their names are going to be sprinkled all over the leaderboard. And I think they're going to be different young stars in many of the events, but I think you're going to see a lot of kind of like, oh, wow, Paige Powers just put on a clinic. Or, I think you're going to have some of these moments for each of them. And like you said, Mal has some huge expectations, even more so than Tia winning. I feel like Tia winning is just almost feels inevitable. The pressure seems and feels like it's on Mal. Laura Horvath, again, is just under the radar. No one's talking about her. There doesn't seem to be expectations on her. It's expected that Laura Horvath is just going to perform. Mal O'Brien, the sport wants her to be there, and it's a lot of pressure for her. Like we were talking about, Emma has expectations. I think she's being, those expectations are being carefully kind of controlled. We just want you to have a good weekend. Do the best you can, experience all the buzzwords. Mal O'Brien, after last year, people are expecting her to be at the top. And it is a lot to handle, especially when your coach's name is Matt Fraser and all the championship pedigree that comes along with him. The expectation is she is going to be able to jump into that for sure. I think her pressure is going to be a lot, and it'll tell us a lot this weekend if she can do it.
Heard it here first. That's a good take. It's a hot take. I like it. I like it. She looks like she can handle it. And with in her corner and O'Keefe and the group, the cool kids, you know, I think she can handle it. But I love it. I love it. I was actually thinking, because in previous years we have sort of a lot of them. I mean, the highest American finish has been Carrie Pierce, third at the weird year.
With the Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah. Haley's come fifth, right? We have sort of the Brooke Wells, Amanda Barnhart, the Carrie Pierce, the Haley Adams. But when I'm looking at the roster of U.S. athletes, versus, and to be honest with you, in my opinion, a lot of unknown European athletes.
Yes.
I'm so interested to see this Euro versus America. I mean, we can toss in Canada in there too, but I feel like in the female side in the CrossFit sport, it's always been about the non-Americans, non-North
right.
Americans, right?
Yeah.
You know, one the 1 year, but obviously Tia and Katrin. And
yeah.
Camille, I mean, yeah, like Camille, I don't know when the last time an American won. I don't think an American has won. It probably goes back to the OG days. And again, I think Mal is probably the current hope, right? That's where
for sure.
come from. But there's so many European athletes like Jerry Helgedonner, Emma McQuay, Jacqueline Ellstrom, Lucy Campbell, Gabby, Laura. Like, there's so many European athletes that like most of us don't know much about.
Yep.
And I'm super excited to see the battle kind of US versus Europe.
Yeah.
Or US versus non, right? Like,
wouldn't it be cool if CrossFit had another marquee event that was like a Ryder Cup or like a President's Cup in golf?
Do that. You used to have like the Canada team versus the US.
Right.
Do that.
I think you could do like a North America versus Europe. And instead of doing it an individual thing, put the top athletes together as teams. So then you have a team of Mal and Haley and Dan.
And Froning and Camille.
I think that would be cool to bring back.
They should bring it back. That would be so much fun.
Because I think that
he did. Kowski joined Team Canada when he was like rookie year. He's with Camille.
Because I think they are. I like the way the season's laid out. Obviously, everyone gets a piece of CrossFit in February, March with the Open. But then, unless you're diehard into the sport, you're probably not watching the quarterfinals. You might tune in and check just to make sure your favorites are there in the semifinals going to the games, and then you'll watch a game. So you get two kind of premier moments in the year, a calendar year for CrossFit to kind of get its time. I think you need to put another event in December or January or something like that, just to keep some of these names promoted more, continue to try and make it appealing for a bigger network to think, hey, maybe we could cover some of these things. I think there's formats to try and continue to grow this. But yeah, I think they're in a good spot. CrossFit's in a good spot. Lots of good people in it right now.
Yeah, and my hope is that this year battle proves, I mean, it's a hot take, but in 2 years when we're out of Madison, we're going to Europe, games are in Europe, and that, like, the semifinal at the Lowlands, that massive auditorium or what it was, that was awesome. I think they've already talked about it a lot, but, like, the American semifinals were, like, 20% tickets sold, where they've almost sold out all the European and Australian ones. So, like, I love the European sort of vibe going on here. And I think, because we talk about the change of the guard, right? Like, we have Amanda Barnhart, we have Brooke Wells. Will they be here in a few years? You know, like Chrissy Armo, like
Amanda Barnhart really is a name that just doesn't feel like, she's just an afterthought at this point, which seems sad because she's always there. She's so steady. And she's Ben Bergeron's last. His roster has really dwindled.
I think Chandler comes back next year. But yes, you're right. But Chrissy Armo was eighth last year. Amanda Barnhart was ninth. Daniel Brennan was 11th. I mean,
yeah.
Ariel Lowen is, I guess, new. Bailey Rail is new. But yeah, it's Amanda Barnhart. She finds a way to be steady. And that's very much a Ben Bergeron thing. So
yeah.
And without Katrin, does she have more this year because of the attention that she probably gets? Chandler's not in the picture. So it's like, you're right. It's one athlete, really.
Yeah. He can pour all of his voodoo magic into one person.
She's foil. You know,
it's a very big possibility. Like, she, because she has the experience, she might be one of the people who's like, all right, fine, I'm not going to top 10 events, but I'm going to 11th every event, and that's going to put me in sixth overall or something like that, right? So that's for sure a possibility. There it is, folks.
Yeah, there it is. Have fun watching the games. Hopefully we're not so off.
Yeah.
We can't keep doing this.
Yeah, I'm hoping we hit on a few of these. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Of course. Put a review.
Yeah. 5 stars only.
Thanks, Ian, for joining. This has been fun.
No problem. I've loved it. Love having a chat about this.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a post CrossFit Games. We'll do a little highlight reel.
Where we get to revisit what we just said?
Yeah, maybe we'll just, if we're really bad, we'll just talk about the amazing weekend we watched.
Yeah, post-mortem on our feelings, but excitement over the sport, for sure.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
See you next time.